Good morning, beloved. Please find your way to God's letter to the church at Ephesus and the church at Youngsville this morning. Ephesians chapter 5. God inspired the Apostle Paul to pen this letter to flame or reignite the fire for the first love that the Ephesian church had evidently lost, and we see that in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4. Ephesians 5 and verse 1 begins with a therefore. And so you have to ask, right? What is the therefore? Therefore. And 99.99% of the time, you have to look back. And we could go back as far as chapter 1. I, the Apostle Paul. And because of who you are in Christ Jesus, the elect saints, therefore, walk worthy. You're transformed, chapter 2. You were once a walking dead man. And now you are alive in Christ. So don't forget where you were and now who you are and how you got there. For it's by grace that you've been saved through faith in Christ alone. And so now that you know once what was once hidden, chapter 3, the mystery of the church, the church being for Jew and Gentile alike, you now have access to the throne of grace. Therefore, chapter 4, walk worthy, walk in unity, walk in love. Live as children of light. Put off self, put off the old self who is dead, and put on Christ who is alive. And we could easily do that. But since there's already a therefore in chapter 4, we're not going to do that. And I must confess, I had an agenda review. We could just go back to chapter 4 and verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgive one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, chapter 5, be imitators of God as beloved children. And that would be okay if we went back to 31, 32. Certainly get our minds wrapped around the context. But however, the reason I mentioned 99.99% of the time that we go back to see what the therefore is there for, this may be the only time, this may be a rare occasion in Scripture that it doesn't introduce the conclusion rather than the reason to what follows. It's natural for children to imitate their parents. Matter of fact, sometimes in public it can be, you know, a little embarrassing. Amen or ouch. And so as children of God, it would be natural for you, for us, to imitate our Heavenly Father. Jesus said to be merciful as your Heavenly Father is merciful. He preached that on the Sermon on the Mount. He said to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And now you know, as long as we are attached to this earth suit, that perfection is not really possible while we're here on earth. It's not obtainable. But we ought to be fighting the good fight. We ought to be in the battle. Fighting against the flesh and in progressive sanctification, becoming more and more Christ-like. Putting off self, putting on Christ. And so therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. The word used here for imitators is mimetes. From where we get the English word mimic. And so, as dear children, as beloved, we are to be mimics of God. Mimic doesn't just pick up general patterns of another person. A mimic copies specific characteristics. Therefore, mimic your Heavenly Father as beloved children. See what kind of love that the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are, 1 John 1:3. And so when the fullness of time had come, God sent His only Son, born of woman, under the law to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoptions as sons. Adoption as sons. And because you are a son, God sent His Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And so, by God's grace alone, He adopted the sinful into His redeemed family. And now we call Him Father. And so, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. And verse 2, walk in love. Beloved, there is not a more beautiful description of what the Christian life should be and look like than this right here. Love is the heart of the Christian life. Love is a communicable attribute of God. It is one that He shares with us so that we, through Christ, can fulfill the greatest commandment and the second, which is like the first. Beloved, the doctrine of God's attributes, whether communicable, that is the ones that He shares with us, or incommunicable, the ones that He does not share with us, is very important doctrine to wrap your arms around. It's a very important one to study. Really dig in and understand, lest your shallow roots give way to the winds of the world and the winds of man. When shallow roots give way, man cries out, why me? And the answer really would be, why not you? When shallow roots give way, man cries out, where's God in this? Where was God in that? And the answer, He's still on His throne in glory. And really, our trials probably don't cause Him to even shift His weight on the throne. He's just waiting to see how we are going to glorify Him through this. He's just waiting to see how we are going to grow in our faith and lean and trust on Him through this. He's just waiting to see how we are going to be progressively sanctified through this trial. Love is the fruit of the Spirit. And that love ought to manifest its way in some shape or form in the life of a follower of Christ. Does the world around us recognize that love? As a follower of Jesus, beloved, let's not keep our friends, neighbors, and co-workers guessing, as Pastor Rob has challenged us in the past, not to surprise folks over our Christianity. I love the New American Standard's translation of John 15 and verse 8, where Jesus said, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. We live in a show me world. I hear what you say. However, what you do speaks much louder and much clearer. Therefore, be doers of the word, as Pastor Ryan had already mentioned this morning. And this way, not to deceive yourselves, nor deceive others, those who are watching you. And listen, beloved, being a Christian can be work sometimes. It can be difficult. if you were told that becoming a Christian was going to make your life easy, first thing I want to know is, who told you that? Jesus was talking about this when he said, narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life. The wide gate leads to destruction. The wide gate is the easy way. Just go with the flow. Have you ever just been exhausted because your Christianity has been challenged all day long, either at the workplace, at school, at college? If not, it will. Children, if you're going to darken the college classroom one day, don't be surprised. If you're going to serve God and country and the American forces, don't be surprised. Your Christianity will be challenged. And some of us already know this out in the workplace. If you're going to go right into the workplace, get ready. It's there. Narrow and difficult, or wide and easy. Yes, there are two paths that you can go on. And is there still time to change the road you're on? I hope so. I know so. As long as you're breathing, as long as you hear me, you can change the path that you're on. But if you die on Easy Street, headed through the wide gate, without Christ, there is no second chance. You're a walking dead man, you're dead in your sin, and you're headed for eternal punishment. Kind of narrow-minded, huh? And thus is the gate. And so, as we are in pursuit of Christ-likeness, using His perfection as the standard, we ought to see others within the body of Christ to mimic as well. Imitate me as I also imitate Christ, the Apostle Paul said, 1 Corinthians 11. Hey, you want to know what it looks like to mimic God? Well, then look at Chris. Which one? As my grandson would say, all of them. Look at every Chris in here. You want to see what it looks like to follow Christ? Look at Chris. Followers of Christ, mimics of God, ought to be the majority in the church, not the minority. And with great joy, God has blessed us with living hope. I could use any name in here, as far as I'm concerned. And so, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Walk in love, how? Verse 2, as Christ loved us. Talking about when we were unlovable even, when Christ loved us. And he gave himself up for us. First by becoming flesh, leaving all of heaven's glory and emptying himself. He set aside the Shekinah glory. He set aside the glory that he once had. He gave up his honor. He gave up his riches. He gave up his favorable relationship with the Father. He gave up his independent exercise of authority. He gave up never to be tempted by sin, to be tempted in all ways. And because he did not give in to temptation, he gave up his life on Calvary's cross as the perfect Lamb of God. All of which was, verse 2, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice to God, and thus the doctrine of the atonement. From start to finish, from start to when he said, "It is finished," Christ died to self. Not my will, but yours, he said to the Father. And that's what it takes to walk in love. Sometime in eternity past, when God the Father and God the Son had this conversation about Jesus leaving glory to redeem mankind, to be born of a virgin, to have no place to call home, to the point at that time when he died on the cross, Christ died to self big time, and that's what it takes to walk in love. Die to self and expect nothing in return. Our response as believers, by the mercies of God, to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. That's our response. That is our spiritual worship. That is our reasonable worship. It's not unreasonable. But to be transformed by the renewal of our minds. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. As he has transformed us, Ephesians 2, from walking dead man to alive in Christ, we must allow him, his word, the Logos, to transform our minds. It's a process, because what the mind thinks, the body does. As you probably noticed, beloved, I don't labor much over clever illustrations or stories. I don't have time for that. And I labor very little over application. I think it was Dr. McCarthy who said, I could give you three steps or three things for you to do this week in light of the sermon that you heard today, and you'll forget them before you get to the parking lot. Now, I'm not saying y'all will. I'm just saying that's what the way he spoke about application. And I want to tell you why. Because he knows that if he can change the way you think, if I can teach you biblical doctrine, if I can get you to put on the mind of Christ and to start thinking the way God thinks, then what you do will naturally change, because you have a new natural nature. Because you are a new nature and you are naturally progressing in sanctification. You're becoming more and more Christ-like, and so the mind thinks, the body does. And so that's our goal here, to teach you doctrine. And I know personally, in presenting self as a living sacrifice, that we sometime crawl off of that altar. But the important thing that is that we grow in whatever it is, whatever the trial was, whatever the temptation was, that we grow stronger. We grow stronger in our faith. We trust God more. And we climb back on that altar in progressive sanctification. That's the important thing. Otherwise, we just wallow in our sin, which is not fitting for the saints. And so, beloved, again, I was convicted over my labors on application for this passage, and so here's what I have for you this morning. We are to imitate God's love. Pretty deep, huh? And please notice, beloved, that this verse gives us the measure and the model of the love that we are to manifest, the love of Christ that he has for us. He loved us to remain silent before Pilate. And sometimes our love ought to show in silence. He loved us to be bound to the whipping post. He loved us to have his beard ripped from his face and a crown pounded into his forehead. He loved us to, and when he was nailed to the cross with his dying breath, he forgave the repentant sinner hanging at his side. And then he begged the Father to forgive the clueless who crucified him. He loved us to death. And by this we know love, because he laid his life down for us. that we are to lay our lives down for the brethren. 1 John 3:16. Now, I know that's kind of a man-made thing with the verses, but it's kind of funny that John 3:16 and 1 John 3:16 sound like that. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love as Christ loved and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality, verse 3, and all impurity or covetousness must not be named among you, as is proper among saints. In other words, there shouldn't be even a hint of these self-centered sins among the saints. Abstain from every form of evil, 1 Thessalonians 5:22. If you even think it might be wrong, children, listen to me. If you even think this might be wrong, run from it. Get away from it. Remove yourself. Step away from the area. Flee from it. Give yourself time to pray for a second. Think about it. Ask God, is what I am about to be a part of something that you, my Lord, would do? Because I want to imitate you. I want to mimic you. Is what I'm about to do going to show my love for you, Lord, and the love for my parents? Remember, not even a hint of evil is fitting for you. Let there be, verse 4, no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or pure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. Now, beloved, there are some out there who will teach extreme grace and take verse 5, kicking and screaming, out of context. And not only verse 5, but similar passages. And I want you to be aware of this. What they will tell you is that you can still be saved and basically struggle with these sins. Now, there's a fine line between struggling with the sin, crawling off the altar, and getting back on, crawling off, and getting back on, crawling off, and getting back on, or just flat out practicing these sins. And so they will say they'll be in the kingdom, but they won't have an inheritance. What you see right here is they lose their inheritance. And my first thought is, are you kidding me? What about verse 6? First of all, does God ever promise to pour out his wrath on a repentant sinner? Never. And so first you got to deal with verse 6. Second, give me chapter and verse on God's wrath on the redeemed. And we'll go from there. Because like I said, it's not from this verse alone. They'll use this whole, well, you lose your inheritance. You won't have any rewards. 99% of the time, they'll catch you when you don't have your Bible, right? You're like, oh, I don't have my Bible. Of course, most of you have memorized. But unlike me, I've got a car Bible. I even had somebody ask me once, you do? Can I see it? They thought there was like something special about a car edition Bible. You know, they wanted to see it. They wanted to touch it. I was tickled by that. And there is something special about mine. It's duct taped together. And it's about twice as thick as originally. It's just swollen up. It's got replaced by the iPad, but, you know, technology, sometimes we go with that. But, you know, and it's good to have the scripture with you, or ask them, hey, can you show me that in your Bible? And the first thing you do when they show you, you go like this. You want to see what we got here. We ought to see something we're familiar with. New American Standard, New King James, something familiar there. Okay? You know, or you could just say to them, well, you know, that just sounds interestingly erroneous. I think I want to go check that out. Now, don't say that. That's my first thought, though. I struggle with the flesh, right? That's my first thought. That just sounds wrong. And if it does, and if that, you know, you, I have one person tell me, you know, you get this feeling in your gut, this is just wrong. Yeah, go test it. Test all things and hold fast to that which is good. Tell me, can you just give me chapter and verse? I want to go home and study that a little bit. That would be the best way to handle this situation. But do not be deceived, as the scripture says. Do not be deceived. And so, as beloved children, if you're going to live in my house, capital M, if you're going to live in God's house, you're going to be under God's roof, then you're going to live under God's rules. Nothing new under the sun, children. Your parents, if they pulled that line on you, it's right here. Number one, you're going to walk in love. Christ's love, a love that forgives. I'm giving you application again. Number two, avoid all immorality. And don't be partners with such. Number three, no filthiness or foolish talk, no crude joking. And number four, do not allow others to deceive you. And so don't forget these before you reach the parking lot today. And God has about eight more rules for us next week. Pastor Ryan.